from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And a special warm welcome to two guests that we have today, Regine and Terry. And this is horrible. I forgot your last names, but I have them here. Regine Bailey and Terry Masters, right? Who's who?
I'm Regine. I'm Terry.
Okay. I'm going to give a little explanation before we start and get to know you two, because this is going to be a very, very unusual episode of the podcast. And I'm trying to figure out how even to explain this. First of all, we have two people on at the same time because their story goes together and it overlaps and it intermingles and intertwines. And you'll find that in a few minutes. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, I spent last week at the IONS convention for this year, which was down in Phoenix. And we had some wonderful lectures and presentations about near-death experiences and shared death experiences, which is something we'll be talking more about in future episodes of this show. But the unusual thing about these two here that we'll be talking about today, it's more like shared near-death experiences, which I promise is a topic that never came up at the IONS conference. So this is something new for a lot of people, and there's going to be some surprises, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we have hours and hours to talk about, and we're going to try to figure out how to condense it and make it in some sort of a fashion that makes some sense. So good luck to all three of us today, and especially to me, to figure out how the heck to do this. But let's start with letting our listeners get to know you two just a little bit. And by the way, Terry and Regine are just best of friends, closest friends, as you'll also come to learn. But Terry, give us 1 minute on who is Terry first.
All right, my name's Terry Masters. Went through cancer, beat it several times. Of course, you know, I'm one that had the NDEs. I'm a widow. I have three young boys. Well, they're not young. They're young men now. And I have two great grandbabies that just make my life complete.
Did you say great grandbabies?
No.
Or grandbabies that are great?
But they're all, they're amazing, I should say.
You didn't look old enough to be great.
Generation.
All right. Regine?
I'm Regine. Live just north of Seattle. I'm also widowed. I have four children and three grandchildren that are also great that make my life complete as well. I've always been Terry's contact person through any medical procedures or emergencies or really anything and everything. And a lot of times we were 2,000 miles apart from each other when these were happening, as she would be in West Virginia and I would be in Seattle. So we have everything is documented through text. Because of that, I was never present. So we have everything documented in text. So I just wanted to just kind of preface this with that we are close friends because of the experiences that we've gone through, and we're now roommates. So we both, she came out here from West Virginia. So here we are.
And by the way, thanks for sending the book. Dancing in the Sky. I got a start on it. I haven't finished it yet. It is a pretty quick read. And it's a beautiful story about two close friends.
Yeah.
And about going through struggles of cancer and et cetera, et cetera. In addition to talking about near-death experiences, which we're going to dive into even deeper today. But maybe we should start with Terry. Give us just a little bit of, if you don't mind, nothing too personal, but history with your diagnosis and a general overview of treatment that you've been through so far.
It all started out, I was like constantly having heartburn all the time. And then it led to me having problems swallowing food. It would get lodged in my throat. So when it started doing that, I knew I needed to go see a doctor to see what was going on. And that's when they ran some tests on me, and I discovered that I was at stage 3 esophageal cancer. And after that, I had to have a surgery to actually have part of my esophagus removed and my stomach stretched. So I had to be on a liquid diet for so long to wait for it to heal up and stuff like that. Had to go through the chemo and radiation.
So surgery, chemo, and radiation.
Yes.
How many different surgeries have you had?
Oh.
Well, everything happened really within 2.5 years. From January of 2019 was the first major surgery, and her first NDE, and the last one was September of 2022, and that one was when she was actually out here in Seattle, and there was fluid and then air around her heart. So as far as surgeries and the complications from the surgeries, at least 15. We haven't processed them all yet. There's a lot to process and talked about a lot. There's just been a lot of different surgeries that you've had, brain tumors, hemorrhages, and then let's just throw in, just for the heck of it, a car accident where she was hit by a drunk driver who was going 50 miles an hour through an intersection, you know, in addition to the other things that were also happening in her life. So a lot happened in the 2.5 years.
Well, and even more than that, based on the book, there's an assault. There's just, oh my goodness, I can't believe how much you've been through, Terry. By the way, I'm hearing a little squeak in the background. Is that a dog?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I don't know if our listeners can hear that. If they can, just smile. It's just, we'll pretend it's a happy puppy back there.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll stop, but I'm not sure.
Okay, not a problem. This is going to be a huge number, but you've had about 11 NDE type experiences now. We don't have time to talk about all of them today. And frankly, as you were saying earlier, you haven't had a chance really to process all of them. It does take time, and I get it. So, but what, tell us a little bit about the very first near-death experience that you guys remember and a little bit about what happened.
My first one is when I had, after having the radiation and the chemo, it kind of damaged some of my blood stem cells. So they had to find a procedure to try to restore those, which I had to have a stem cell procedure, which was very risky because it was either I do it or I don't. If I don't do it, then I've got 0% chance of living. If I do it, I've got 20% chance of living. So that's when I go to Regina, and I'm like, I just don't know what to do. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And this is the thing she always tells me. Let's weigh our pros and cons. You know, if you don't do it, you got 0. If you do it, you've got 20. So that's pretty much when I decided to put on a brave face and head to the operating room.
But what happened? Tell me about the experience itself. I mean, did you actually die on the operating table?
I don't remember much after going, you know, under when I went into the operating room. The only thing I remember is being in this like dark tunnel and seeing a bright light at the end of it. As I got to the end where the bright light was, I seen this massive figure, and it, you know, kind of a little confusing at what I was seeing, and I think it kind of realized it, and that's when it kind of transformed. And when it transformed into these three beautiful angels. But these angels kind of reminded me of an angel that my grandmother always had sitting in her house. It was like, it was a fiber optic angel. It would light up. She always had it lit up. And they had these glowing, they had like glowing lights all around them. They were just a beautiful thing to see. next thing I know is that they've taken me to this garden. And in the garden, I see all these animals and all these flowers. I mean, it was just an amazing view. It was like Noah's Ark with all the animals were just right there.
Okay, slow down. I want a little more detail. Do you have any idea this first figure or being that you saw, who, what that was?
At the time, I didn't. I mean, it was, you know, like I said, I was confused at what I was seeing. And I think it sensed it. And that's when it transformed into three angels. And even at this time, I really didn't know who these angels were because this was all new to me.
Okay. I want to hear detail about the garden. Can you describe trees, plants, whatever you saw?
Yeah, I mean, the garden was full of every flower that you could possibly imagine seeing. Aroma with the scents that I've never smelt before. Every animal, I mean, it's just like they're just all around. I mean, it was like no care, no worries. I mean, just bright, beautiful, just so comforting.
Every animal, can you remember any that you saw?
Oh, I seen dogs, I seen cats, I seen lions, you name it. I mean, I seen every animal as if you would see them walking on Noah's Ark. It was just amazing. It was mind-blowing, to be honest.
And what happened next after the garden?
They take me on into the garden, and I hear this familiar voice. And I knew this voice. I knew it was my grandmother. But as they got me closer to where she was sitting, I didn't recognize her because she was at such a young age. And I had never seen her at that age before. But I knew it was her just by her voice and the things she was saying to me. It was as if she was just sitting there waiting to just have a conversation with me, like she was waiting for me to show up. We just started having a conversation. She was just, you know, telling me how proud she was of me for going through all the struggles that I've been through and was still going through. And she always knew that I struggled with self-love and self-worth. And I guess she was making it a point to tell me, you know, how well and how far I was coming with everything.
Was this a grandmother that you were close with?
Yes, this grandmother was like a mother to me.
Now, you said that she was looked much younger. How young? Closer to 8 or closer to 28?
I'd say she was probably in her 20s, 30s.
That is so neat. Was there anything else before the experience ended?
Yeah. I wasn't wanting to leave my grandmother, but she kept telling me that, you know, I needed to go back. I needed to return because I had things to do. But I wanted to be with her because she was like my go-to person for everything. And I just didn't want to leave her. And I really believe that the angels sensed that I was struggling with returning. And that's when they led me to this stream of water. And as I was like glancing down in the water, I see a reflection. And the reflection was of Ray Jeans. Glad to see her in this reflection, but not the way that I seen her. She was looked like she was texting on her phone. All of a sudden I see her. She's actually at work. I see her walk over to one of the coworkers that she worked with, and she just like walked to her, and she was just shook her head no. And then she just never said anything and kind of like turned around and walked back into a section of the store that she would never normally work in. And I could see that she had tears rolling down her face. So I was a little bit confused and was asking how I could get a message to her to let her know that I was okay. Oh, well, maybe I got that one a little mixed up there.
That is true. You did see me. That was.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, but she was in the store, so.
So we're going to talk about some communication. That was in the fourth NDE, right?
Yeah, that was in the fourth one. And
Let's take these in order. Let's stick with the first one for just a minute. Was there anything else to it?
I did see her. I seen her in a reflection of the water. That's when you were sitting on the couch.
No, it's at the store. You're right. So, Eric, we're getting kind of confused. I'm sorry. But
yeah.
The very first one was when you saw me in the store, and then that's when your grandmother said that you needed to go back. And
yeah, that's when yes, I'm so sorry that I'm getting them confused. They're just... Like, again, there's just so many of them. But that's when I did see her in the store, and I knew that I needed to let her know that I was okay. And I knew I needed to return. I needed to return for her. I needed to return for my kids. All of a sudden, I kind of felt like I was being weighed down, and then I started falling at a fast pace. And next thing I know is I woke up in a cold hospital room with my son looking down at me, telling me that he would take me home just as soon as they released me.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot for anybody to have one experience like that. Let's go ahead and jump to number two. How much later was number two?
September of 20. It was about a year and a half later, and that was the car accident. So she had the car accident September of 20, about a year and a half later, and a couple months after that was the assault. So each one of those were near-death experiences. And then the fourth one was May of 2021, where she had a brain tumor, and she had actually collapsed with it because of the pressure on her brain. And so she was brought into the emergency non-responsive. So the fourth one is actually where we had our first communication. Again, I was the contact person for the nurse. So I get a text out of the blue from Terry's phone just stating that this was the ER nurse and she wanted to make sure that I was who I was and that I was her contact person. And I said I was. And she told me that I had a decision that I needed to make. And she briefly told me that Terry was brought in unresponsive. They wanted to know, and then looking at her records, they knew that she had a brain tumor. They wanted to know if they should call time or if they should hook her up to life support. I know, wow. At this point, there was a little bit of history, so I knew that she did crash. I knew that she did, her surgeries were distressing to her, but I knew that she could come back. So, I mean, I immediately said, put her on life support. So they did that, hoping to stabilize her to be able to do the surgery. So it was when she was on life support in this condition that the first text came through and from her phone to mine. And it was handwritten. And it just said, I will always love you. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it immediately was followed by the nurse saying, I did not send them. I'm like, oh, my God, what just happened?
Okay, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I know.
We don't want to blow everybody's minds too fast.
I know.
You got a little bit ahead of me, but that's okay. We'll jump to this spot. Whose phone did the text come from, Regine? From Terry's phone or the nurse's phone?
Terry's phone. So the nurses always, when I would get updates from the nurses, it was always on Terry's phone.
Okay.
So they would always have Terry's phone. And then I would get like for instance, I know we're jumping around here, but the first one that she was talking about, I was, and what she was seeing me actually communicating with the nurse, and I was getting the updates from that surgery. I was crying because she had crashed. She was in cardiac arrest. She was giving me a countdown, 10, 15, 20, 25. And then I lost contact with the nurse. There was no contact, and I didn't know what to think. So I thought she had passed. I thought she had crossed. And that's when I walked over to that coworker and just shook my head, no, she didn't make it. There weren't many that knew what was going on, but she was one that did. And so that's what Terry had seen me and totally validated exactly what I was doing. So this was how our communication through the nurses, my communication through the nurses, but it always was through Terry's phone.
Okay.
So, I wasn't ever in a hospital with her, so everything was always by text.
Okay. So, Terry, we're talking about NDE number four now. Was this one, remind me, was this one surgery or from the accident? What was this one from?
This is when I had a brain tumor, and I knew that I was going to have to proceed going on with having something to do, have something done with it. But I didn't know at the extent how bad it was. I was actually working, and I had collapsed at work due from the pressure of the tumor, pushing on my brain. They had rushed me to the hospital, and I mean, the only thing I remember, once again, is being in the presence of the angels. This time, I knew who these angels were, because over the first, second, third, I had learned who they were.
Who were they?
Well, for instance, on this one, I always have Archangel Michael. He's always there because he's like the protector of, he's just the protector of you. So always in my presence. I even had Archangel Azrael there with me this time. I was a little confused because, you know, I see my body in a hospital bed, and I see, like, all the medical team just frantically working on me. So I was really confused at what had happened. That's when a team of archangels just come in and take me to the scene of my accident. Oh, not the car accident. I'm sorry. See, I'm getting confused.
That's okay. I understand.
Well, this is like the second time I've talked about it. And it's like the first time we knew we were only talking about the six. And now we didn't know if we were going to be talking about all of them. And I just got a little confused.
It's okay. And that's what Regine is here for.
Yeah.
Help keep us all on track.
Yeah.
This was the first communication. And this is, again, when Archangel Michael brought you to, again, like a clear stream of water. And that's when you saw me. I was sitting on my couch and I, again, had my phone and texting with the nurses.
Yeah.
That's when you saw me and you asked Archangel.
Yeah. I asked him to help me get a message out to her because I seen her sitting on the couch. She was, upset once again, crying, and she was petting her dogs. Yeah. I just didn't want her to be so upset. So I was just like, I need help. That's when Archangel Michael looked at me and says, "What can you do? What can I do for you that you can't do for yourself?" And that's when I just said, "I need to relay a message to her to let her know that I'm okay." And that's when I learned that you can, communicate telepathically with the angel's help. So I asked to relay a message, and the message was I wanted to tell her that I will always, love you. She seemed to still be struggling. I just decided, all right, I need to keep relaying messages to her. I needed to let her know that I was there with her and that I was going to stay by her side until she fell asleep, because she had done that for me so many times after my surgeries and before surgeries, So I wanted to do that, but she was still struggling. So with her struggling like that, it was causing me to start to struggle because I didn't want her to be like, feel that way. I think Archangel Michael realized that. So he showed me a way how he was going to help the both of us. We both had heart stones that we had gotten on a previous trip together. That's when Archangel Michael went and retrieved my heart stone and put it in my hand while I was in surgery. And somehow I held onto that heart stone throughout my whole surgery. But I can still clearly see Regine walking out of her house to go to work or wherever she was going that day. And Archangel Michael stepped in and just had her to just like turn around and go retrieve her heart stone.
Okay. For those that don't know, what is a heart stone?
It's like a crystal that's in the shape of a heart.
Okay.
And it can also be called a worry stone, but we kind of call it a heart stone because of the shape.
Yeah.
But it's kind of got a little indent in it, and you can hold it and kind of rub it, and it just kind of, and the crystal is rose quartz, so it just kind of soothes you and comforts you. And so we each had one.
Do you happen to have one of those here? For those that are seeing the video, they can see one.
So okay. This one is actually citrine. This one isn't the rose quartz. I think yours is rose quartz. But it's shaped like a heart, and in here there's a little indent. So you just kind of hold it in your hand, and you just kind of rub it.
All right, Terry, you were just saying Archangel Michael put that in your hand during surgery?
Yes.
Where was it?
It was in my pants pocket that I was wearing before I went into the hospital.
So are those pants with the heart stone like in your hospital room, but you're in the surgical room?
Yes.
And somehow, okay. Let's face it, some people are going to have a hard time believing some of this stuff. So I just want to make it clear. Somehow that stone got from your pants pocket into your hand during surgery in a sterile environment, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Regine, where was yours?
So when this happened, this was the following day. And she was able to get stable enough for them to do the surgery. And I had to go to work. And so I was leaving knowing that the surgery had started, and then I just hear this voice, you know, and mine was in, I have a big crystal ball. Mine was in my crystal ball, and just, I just heard, grab your heart stone. I'm like, okay. So I just went back, grabbed my heart stone. So I was holding, when I went to work, I was holding my heart stone in my hand, like pretty much all day, and just kind of thinking about what was going on. She did go through the surgery. She did, they were waiting for her to wake up. And about this time, I get a text from the nurse, and she's like, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. And she said, Terry has a heart stone in her hand. She's had this heart stone in her hand, and I have no idea where that. She said, there's nobody that could have put this in her hand. She obviously couldn't. She wasn't even awake yet. And so she was kind of freaking out. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I go, I have that same heart stone in my hand. So the nurse wasn't supposed to do this, but she actually snapped a picture of Terry's hand and sent it to me, and I snapped a picture of mine and sent it back, and she's like, oh my gosh, this is the same heart stone in the same hand, and we both have the same tattoo that says just breathe, which we got when she first was diagnosed with cancer, which is our mantra, you know, just breathe. So it was kind of validation, and she's like, that we found out later that was Archangel Michael's way of letting us know, or letting me know. And I actually said it to the nurse. I said, I think that's validation that she's going to be okay. At that time, I had no idea that she had the NDE until she actually woke up and we were able to talk and validate what we had both gone through.
You mentioned a minute ago, we're going to talk about it more, a text message. Again, people, if you want to be skeptical, go ahead. I find Regine and Terry to be very credible. We have spoken previously. I've read quite a bit of their book. What came first, finding out about the heart stone or the text message?
The text message came first. So this was, you know, probably around 9-10 o'clock at night, my time, when I first got the message that she was, well, maybe a little early, that she was actually brought into the hospital. It was probably earlier than that. And the text went on until about midnight. And when Terry was with me and she said, I'm going to stay with you till you fall asleep. And I thought, there's no way I'm falling asleep. And I did. I did feel her presence, that it was comforting. And I did fall asleep. And we had, you know, quite a bit of conversation, text back and forth. And I woke up the next morning, my phone was laying next to him, like, oh my gosh, did this really happen? And so then I look at my phone and I'm like, it really happened. And so then I reached out to the nurse and, you know, asked for an update. And that's when they told me that she was that stable enough to be able to start the surgery. And at that point, that was the next day. And at that point, I had to go to work and grab my heart stone. And it was later on that afternoon. We didn't have any more communication, text or anything, but it was that afternoon when she actually did wake up from the procedure.
And you were smart enough to take screenshots of a bunch of these text messages. You sent a few to me because I was skeptical and I just had to see them. Do you mind if I show a couple?
Sure.
Okay. See if people can read this from my phone. All right. There's the one we were talking about.
The first one.
Yeah, the first one where you said that you wanted to send her this message, I'll always love you. I'm sure there are people out there that are smarter than me that know how to do a handwritten message in a text somehow. I've never done it. Do either of you know how to do it?
I did when I had an iPhone. I don't know if that was part of it because, you know, you just do this, like, I'll always love you.
But through the course of the time, they started out as handwritten, and mostly they were handwritten. And then kind of towards the end, they were more text, like we would text.
Yeah.
But it was always, when we would have these communications, it was always her. I knew it was her. She would call me by the same nickname. She would call me Raj. She would have the same quirky answer. So it was her consciousness was exactly the same as if we were, these texts were exactly as if we would be sitting next to each other, exactly how we would text, as if she was in the next room.
And did you verify the time on this? Was this during surgery?
That was after The first one was before surgery.
Okay. But Terry, you mentioned that you were with Archangel Michael.
Yeah, that one was during. You got that message that I will always love you when I was
life support.
Mm-hmm.
Before surgery.
So you were Terry, you were unconscious. That's the bottom
line.
Yeah,
I was unconscious.
And I noticed if you look at the very bottom, the note, that's from the nurse, right?
Yeah. I did not send that.
And it's yeah, Regine's response to that is OMG, and the nurse says, I did not send that.
So I would be having really a conversation with the nurse on Terry's phone and with Terry on Terry's phone. So, and it's pretty, when you read through the dialogue, it's pretty evident on because hers would be handwritten for one, but it was evident on who the conversations with, but Terry never, ever responded to anything that the nurse would say. The conversations were always only between her and me, always. It was never, ever like, oh, you know, she would be talking to the nurse and she'd be talking to him, but it was never that.
Okay, that's really cool and super unusual. Were you both in Seattle then or in different states?
Now, you were in West Virginia and I was in Seattle.
So you were thousands of miles apart when this happened. It's still blowing me away, but there's a whole bunch of these.
We have hundreds and hundreds of all of them saved.
As long as we're talking text messages, let's talk about the next one that you sent me, which is this one. If everybody can see that. And my apologies to those that are just listening and not seeing the video. What we're seeing here is some handwriting again, I want to come home. And then some stick figure kind of drawings that I wasn't sure what they were at first until you said, and we'll talk about those. And those were angels, right? And Regine says, fight, Terry, and then asks, are those angels that were drawn? And the response is, yes, that's who I'm with.
Yeah.
Which NDE was this? What's going on here, Terry?
That was when I had fluid around the heart.
It was a 10th.
That was my 10th NDE, August of 2022.
Do you remember any of this? Terry, do you remember what you were experiencing?
I do. I was actually flying around with Archangel Jophiel. I think that's when I described that I felt like I was a character in the Jetsons. I'm just flying around with all the freedom in the world. Just no worries.
Give me a whole bunch more detail. Who is this angel, and where were you flying to, and how is that all working?
We were just flying around the clouds, bright skies. Archangel Jophiel is always with me, and the reason that Archangel Jophiel is there is because she helps you with self-love and self-care. Again, something I struggle with, even still to this day. She was just trying to teach me a lesson that I needed to have more self-love for myself. I needed to care for myself like I do for others. I seem to always put others way above myself. We were just flying around as she's trying to teach me lessons on self-worth. You know, seeing the self-love and the care and love for others. I don't know how much more to explain except that I was flying around. You know, something that's probably very hard to believe, but it's real. It happened. You know, sometimes this is the hardest part to tell this because you got so many people that's not going to believe it, but they don't have to. I was there. I went through it. It happened. It's something I'll never forget. Going through all this and doing this, this has helped me realize that I'm not afraid to die anymore. If it's my time, I'm ready.
How do you know this wasn't just a dream? Lots of us have dreams of flying, right?
I think that what makes it real is the communication, and that was coming through on my end, and then also me talking with the nurse. She had gone in to remove fluid that was around her heart, and she had immediately crashed, which was typical. So she immediately went into cardiac arrest. There wasn't a lot of communication on this one. She was just basically telling me who she was with, which, every time she had an NDE, that was always her main thing of telling me who she was with, what she was doing. She just didn't want me to to worry and just to try to let me know that, you know, she was going to come back. I didn't always know that, you know, that if she was or not, because you were always given choices. This particular one, it was short, and it was when she not had a lot of communication, but I knew who she was with. And it was funny on this one, because then when she did, you know, they did revive her and she did wake up from the procedure, she, you know, immediately wanted to grab her phone, which she always did, from the nurse and let me know. Oh, my gosh, she said, I was with Joe Fiel, and I'm like, I know. And she's like, how do you know? And I said, because you told me. And then we started talking, and she goes, I did. She said, I was flying with the angels. And I said, you told me that. And then you told me this, which is funny, about her wanting to be your BFF.
Oh, no, I've already got a BFF. If I can't, yeah.
So, Archangel Joe Fiel actually asked her to be her BFF, an angel. And we laughed so much. We still laugh about that. And she declined.
I think it was because I had so many encounters with her to where I'd struggle with the self-care. And she was always there to try to beat that into me. And it was just, because she felt like, hey, we have a lot of meetings, so we need to just be best friends. Oh, I can't do that. I already got that.
I love it. Well, that's a big compliment for you, Ray Jean. You took precedent over a real life.
I think if an angel would have asked me to be their BFF, I would have said, sure.
You see, we have to
You took precedent over a real life angel. All right, can I ask about this one? This one is longer.
I see it.
A little peek. First, I'm seeing Ray Jean and the nurse are texting back and forth. And the nurse is saying, I'm blown away by this. By the way, how did the nurses feel when they saw this happening?
Well, it varied. For a lot of this, I'd say about 2/3 of this, it was the same nurse. And this nurse was very spiritual. So I think that's why it was so much was happening, and it was happening with her. But it wasn't always the case. In fact, the very last one that she had, the last two were different nurses, different hospitals. The very last one, she's like, oh, no, I'm not doing this. And I think the one that you have there, I think was one of the nurses that didn't want to deal with it. And I would always encourage the nurse, I said, just please, you know, just stay with it, because this is how she communicates with me. And I just need to know, you know, but they weren't always receptive about it.
Well, that could be very scary.
Yeah. And the one nurse that did see most of it, at one point I had asked her, I said, have you told anybody about this? And she's like, absolutely not.
So this one says, let me read it and you guys explain it. Give Lisa a hug for me. I will. Who's Lisa?
Lisa is Ray Jean's daughter. I had finally got to meet her kids for the first time. And I just wanted to get a message to all of them that, you know, I enjoyed meeting them. And
well, the rest of it reads, tell your other kids, I'm glad I got to meet them. Please take care of yourself. Thank you. We all love you. Who's we?
And I said that. So that was my response back.
Okay.
We all love you.
That's
yeah.
Your response.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another question. Because you two were able to communicate back and forth while Terry was in the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
Did you, Ray Jean, pass any messages through her to other people that you love that have passed on?
No, you know, and that's such a great question. And I've thought about that. Why didn't I ask any of that? But I didn't. I was always in kind of a shock that this was actually happening. But I was just so focused on, where are you? Who are you with? Are you coming back? I mean, I would always ask that. Are you coming back? You know, or fight, you know, come back. You know, you have a lot to live for. I think at first when you were having NDEs, at first she was like being told, no, it's not your time. Then it was like, you have a choice. And then at the end, the last ones, it wasn't even about that. It was about just being with the angels, and they were just kind of giving you just different lessons.
Tell me about some of the other NDEs. What things stand out to you? What other things do you remember? I love the picture of the beautiful garden. What else might people want to hear about?
That was the last one. Yeah, the last one. That's when I had the air around the heart. Oh, I just find myself always high above again in the presence of the angels. But this time I was kind of like dancing and singing with the cherubs. These cherubs was a little different than what an ordinary cherub would be. They possess like two sets of wings and four faces. One of a man's face, which represented for love. And then you had the eagle, which represented wisdom. You had a bull for strength and a lion for courage. They wasn't scary. You would think that they would be scary, you know, four heads, two sets of wings, but they were the most kind, compassionate cherubs ever to me. I mean, well, of course, you know, often do you meet cherubs, but
not too often.
Yeah, so we were just like just soaring around, flying around, and but the one thing that stands out to me is that we're flying around to this song called Dancing in the Sky, and it just hit home for me because it was a way for me to come back to tell Regine exactly what I had seen in all these experiences when I did have my NDEs with the angels and what it was like. I couldn't wait to get back to play that song for her and to just see how she responded to it, to let her know that that's how I was seeing it.
Was that a song you only heard there, or is that a song here?
That was the first time that I heard that song, but it is a song.
Okay. I've never heard it, so you'll have to send it to me or something.
Beautiful. I never had heard the song either, and then I immediately, you know, YouTubed it. It's by Danny and Lizzie.
Danny and Lizzie, yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful song.
What kinds of things did you learn from all this? These NDEs are not just for fun and for a show or something. What did you learn?
I kind of had a hard life growing up. And, you know, when I lost my grandmother, it took a real toll on me because she's the one that kind of kept me just grounded to know that I was worth something. And then I lost my husband like 2 or 3 months before I was diagnosed with my cancer. I was just struggling. I mean, I was in a really hard spot, and I don't know if I had to go through these NDEs to understand that I am worth something and that I need to learn to have self-care and self-love for myself and to see others in a different way than what I was seeing, because I was kind of bitter, kind of angry, just not wanting to live. And I had more than enough to live for. I just wasn't seeing it at the time. And I'm not too sure that that's not why I was crashing, to learn some lessons, to see that I still had a point to be here. And then, you know, finally, it's just, it was sinking in that I do have people that do care for me. You know, not always is your immediate family is the ones that need to be in your life. It's the ones that want to be in your life. And I think I needed to be showed that. And again, I'm still amazed at her because I didn't even know her. I just started working for her in her department, and I knew I had cancer, and I knew I was going to need time off from work. And I just, you know, that's when I went to her, and, you know, we talked about it, and she offered her support and all that. And I knew I needed somebody. So that's when I decided that I was going to let her be there for me. That's when I let doctors and all that know that she was going to be my emergency contact, because I didn't have anybody else that wanted to be there for me, I should say, in a way that I needed it. Of course, your kids are going to be there, but you don't want to put all that on your kids. It just amazes me how a complete stranger can walk into your life not knowing you and just want to be there to help you in the ways that you're needing it at that time in your life. Her and my kids are my life. I know sometimes it's hard for people to understand that and all that, but go through something like that and it'll totally change your mind on some stuff.
Sure. Besides meeting your grandmother, was there anybody else that you knew that you met in any of these experiences?
No, you know, most of the time I was just in the presence of the angels. And I think, again, it was just trying to show me things that I was struggling with in life. I always wanted to to see my husband. I never did. And I, just like me and Regine talked about it, I think that was a reason, you know, because I grieved him so much. I mean, I've just gotten to here recently to where it doesn't bother me that he's no longer here, because I know where he's at and I know he's better, in a better place. I think at that time, if I had had any kind of contact with him, I don't think I ever would have returned, because I wasn't the one to leave him. Deeply in my heart, believe that's why I never had any kind of connection with him during any of that.
Do you have any thoughts on other people who may be going through some similar things, whether it's a friend or a relative, and some kind of a loved one who is going through some really difficult things, whether it's surgeries or whatever? Is there a way that we could actually learn to do some of this communication that you two had?
Well, for me, if you're referring to the angels, if you just have a desire to connect, your angels are always there with you. Just ask. Just be open to receive different ways of knowing that they're answering your prayers. And as far as finding a friend like Regine, you hear all the time that friendship's the hardest thing to find. And if you find it, don't ever let go of it. Yeah, we have our ups and downs, but it's life. You go through struggles, but if you have that one person, you know, and I struggled at first. I struggled with wanting to let her help me because I felt like I was a burden on her, and I didn't want to place that on her, because at that time she was going through some hard stuff. Everybody's going through something, whether we know it or not, but I struggled with that. That was at one of the times, that's when I was probably in the presence of the angels, and that's when, you know, one time Michael had to prove to me that she was there for me. If you got that person, let them help you, because you definitely need the help.
Well, thank you. Before I let you two go, are there any other lessons that you'd like to share?
I think just to know that love never dies.
Exactly.
It doesn't. We don't die. We're energy. You can't kill energy. It just transforms. And just to know that we all have the same entourage of angels and spirit guides and loved ones around us. We all have it, and we're all worthy of that. We're all worthy of that love. And I think the reason we're talking about this, as you can tell, it's difficult to talk about, and we're still processing it. We will for years and years. Just to know that there is an afterlife. We don't die. Our loved ones are with us. And in fact, my father who passed when I was, you know, in early 20s, and my mom and him divorced when I was like 5, I have a better relationship in spirit than I had with him when he was actually in a physical form. So I just think that hopefully will help those that are grieving the loss of a loved one, or that are afraid of death, or have actually had an NDE, that are trying to process it themselves, that they're not crazy.
Yeah, they're the other side. They're much better off on the other side. I mean, they're happy. They're in no more pain if they was in pain while they were here. Just knowing that helps me.
Terry, you mentioned earlier about feeling no worries, feeling comfortable. Were there any other feelings that were there? Some people describe love and other things like that.
Oh, there's nothing but love on the other side. That's all you feel. It's love, compassion. I wish everybody just had a chance to just do it once, and then they would know. They would know how of an awesome place it is, because there's no worries. There's no hurt. There's no bad. There's no ugly. And here we have all that.
All right. Thank you so much, Regine Bailey and Terry Masters.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being with me. We'll have your link to your book in the show notes. Wow. Story blew me away.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.